Servants of God in this house, and I would like to welcome Minister Grace even to this microphone to come and tell us about why they are here, and to tell us how it was yesterday. And I think I just had a little dose, you know, as my wife came and I was almost waiting for her, and you know, to come. I was wondering where she is, how long she's taken, and I just had a little bit of what they experienced. And so, Minister Grace, we honor you and thank you so much for what you're doing in the city, along with other ministers here in this city. So come, and you're going to introduce our guest. Can you appreciate her, please?
Praise the Lord. Bwana asifiwe. Hallelujah. I am just so humbled this morning. It is such a great honor to be in the Father's house. This is my father's house. Pastor Tony is my pastor. We have worshiped together. He has been my worship pastor for a long time. He has mentored me, and I could not be where I was if I never sat under him. This morning, we are so humbled. We are so grateful to God, because it can only be God who can bring some things to our completion. I'm just still rewinding and thinking it must have been just a movie that was going on. I'll wake up for the reality, but I am so honored even to be in this church. Pastor Tony was there, and Mom Catherine, they prayed with us. You have great, 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 mighty women of God. Can you give it up for our sister Purity? She did such a mighty, mighty job last night. And our sister Charity. She's quiet, but you don't know how such she's such a dynamite. She brought such a great, great impact in the favored daughters of King. We were challenged last night, the sisters that missed. We are moving. We are on a higher level. We're going to be sisters keepers in this city. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are coming from, your status. We don't care about you. All we care that you are daughters of the Most High God. And we took a challenge that we're going to be our sisters keepers. That's why we are here. We wanted to share whatever we tapped last night with you. And I'm honored to invite to the pulpit. Before I do that, before I get in trouble. Behind every woman, there is a man. Yes, there is a man. And I could not even have gotten this far without the support of my husband. I want him to stand. Patrick, I bless God for you for being there for us. And even Pastor Julius, I want to honor you this morning. I don't know how many times I had to take Charity away, midnight hours, and sometimes we are thinking, oh my God, by the time we get to our house, our husband will gonna be, you know, but they are always there with the moral support, financially, emotionally. I don't know whether Ben is here. Pass my love to him. Ben, we love you for your support also, because we cannot do this if our husbands are not supporting us. It will be long, even in the kingdom. I want to challenge even the women that are here. You cannot go far if your spouse is not supporting you. And I want to introduce also my sister all the way from Indiana, Sister Jane. She's a friend. She came also to support us. And I'll go ahead and introduce a friend that the Lord connected us with. A woman that came and delivered from heaven. It was direct from heaven. We don't want her to go back to Alabama. We want her to stay here, but we'll claim you, my sister. I want to bring to you my sister, Luth Gige, and she's going to introduce her team from Alabama. She's a mother. She's a registered nurse. She's in the prophetic ministry, and she's going to tell you more about herself. Welcome, woman of God. And I'll humbly request our sister Charity just to say a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord. Let's just go ahead and pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you this morning. We have seen your goodness in this city of Dallas, dear Father. And Father, we are claiming your word this morning that God, we are waiting to hear upon you, Jesus. As your servant, dear Father, delivers your word today in the name of Jesus, our hearts are expectant of you. Dear Father, we thank you for and we bless you for everybody who is in this church today, that God, you meet them at their point of your need, O King of Glory. For this, I do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the living God. I want to honor, you know, men of God. You don't even know me, but you trusted me to stand in your pulpit. God bless you. Amen. Reverend Ruth Kigi, all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. Actually, in the month of June, I'm going to be relocating from Birmingham. We were actually supposed to come to Dallas, but I went to Washington, Seattle, and I felt like I want to be close to Canada, so I'm going to be moving there, but you never know, I can come here. Amen. I'm honored to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. If you can put the mic down just a little bit, it doesn't sound like me. I came with a group of people, and I want them to come to the front, and so they can testify, say who they are, amen, before I proceed on. Amen. Alabama team. We are all from the same church. Amen. So we'll start with our mama. We have to travel with mommy so she can watch over us.
Praise the Lord. My name is Jacinta Kihara. I am born again. I love the Lord and my personal Savior. I'm proud to be in Texas. And we are so humbled because of you people. We see great, great things here, and God bless you. And we are going to tell Alabama how we have seen you and how you have done to us. And you continue being like that forever. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise God. Did you all have some breakfast? Praise God. It's called the Empowerment Christian. Okay, Empowerment Christian Center. Praise God. Good. As we had some good breakfast, we've been taken care of. So I feel good. And my name is Mary Gigi Waibaka. We had a really good time. Grace, that was amazing. You pulled off all the stops. It was beautiful. We had a good time. And we're happy to be here. I love Dallas. I have very many family and friends here. So this feels like a second home. It was going to relocate, I'll come here. So I'm happy to be here and in the presence of the Lord. And I jumped the line because these two can really talk. That's why I wanted to just, because if I come after them, I'll be like, okay, I don't know what else to say. But we are here and we are ready to just honor and praise God with you people.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am Mary Wangari. I love the Lord. He has been so, so good to me. And I am in awe of his name. I love you all. I love Texas. We have had a good time. And we bless the Lord for everyone and each one of you. I am blessed to be in this temple this morning. And when we were singing about the everlasting love of God, that we love God, I was thinking, you cannot know how to love if you're not loved. And so I challenge each one of us to accept and to acknowledge the love of God so that we may know how to love back. Be blessed.
Buona sifiwe. Buona sifiwe. Yeah, I have a note. Prepare my notes also. I'm Wamboi Wamenja, Jennifer Waboi, Wakenodia.
I'm from Kenya, Kiambu. I'm a mother of three, a 21-year-old. Yeah. I was a single mom for 13 years, and then I was blessed with a husband. And then I had two more children, Kimani, who is 7, and Shiko, who is 6. My Wagara is my firstborn. She's 21, and I thank God for the life that he has given me, the gap that he had me have before I discovered exactly who he was. I humbled myself, and I received him. I had a very wonderful time last night. Wonderful time. I came prepared because we get excited when we get out of the house. You know, when mothers that are full-time mothers, they are full-time students, and they are full-time employees. Uh-huh. When we get time, just a little bit of time, I'm not going either. If you were just joking, let's go, I get excited. So when she called me and she's like, I really need you to take me to Dallas, I said, you know what, I'm not even thinking about it. I am packing and I'm taking you to Dallas. Because why? It is not for her. It is for God. This is a mission. Anything when you're told, let's go, if it is the right thing, do not question it. You don't know what it is that is lying ahead of you. And I am just going to read what I had prepared. And it's just an inspiration. It's just an encouragement that we all go through situations. We are not... And we discovered that last night when Grace actually, I just told my our friend, Reverend Ruth, that if it had just for her stood up when Grace stopped talking and she invited Reverend Ruth yesterday, after she put up all those categories of where we lie in life, stand up if you have lost a loved one, stand up if you're a divorced woman, stand up if you're a single mother. Ooh, that touched me. It was such a powerful thing. Because when you stand up and you look around, thank you, God, that I'm not the only one who is going through this. That is what the message was, that be your sister's, your brother's keeper. Because somebody else is going through what it is that you're going through. Anyway, as we tap into the Word of God, I believe that we will be inspired and challenged to live, to reach our full potential, to live with more confidence, to approach each day with the right perspective, and to love life in a greater way. Remember, God will never leave you alone. You are too important to Him. If you are thinking, life would have been different if only I had this, or if only that had happened, let it go. We have to let go of the old and accept where God has us today. Today is the moment that you have to think about what it is that you're going to do for the Lord. Today might be the day that you will be transformed into something that when he comes back, he will say, welcome, my child. Okay? So, enjoy your life, love your life, and embrace what is important. God bless you all.
Hallelujah. Thank you, ladies. Amen. Again, as I told you, my name is Pastor Ruth Gigi, and I've had a journey. Hallelujah. I thank the Lord for somebody who found me when I did not know myself, because at one time I was seeing dreams and I was seeing visions and things were coming and just being reality. I would call somebody and tell them, this is what I dreamt about you. They would start crying. I was confused. I told the Lord that I don't want this thing because it just makes me to be so rejected. If this thing, Lord, I don't just like it, because why are you giving me all these things? Why are you showing me all these things? And in the midst, one day I found an American woman, African-American woman. And it was so funny. It is just like the way we met Grace. And this lady met with my cousin. And when they met with my cousin, she knew that she was a minister of the gospel. At the time, she had traveled to Africa about maybe once to do missions. But twice she had been ripped off, excuse me, pastors, by two pastors in Kenya, each worth of $25,000 in the 1990s. So when she met my cousin, she was so very interested, you know, about God reconnecting her back to the Kenyan family. And one day as she was talking to my cousin Hannah is in Seattle, Washington. She used to live in Birmingham. She came and told this lady of God, you know what, this kind of God you're so crazy about, that's not my temperature. I got to connect you with my cousin. I think my cousin can tolerate the kind of God you have. And so she asked me to cook some chai, and so I did, and she came, and we connected. And from that time, she started walking with me, mentoring me, and God started showing her things about my life that I was running away from. Praise the name of the living God. I want to tell you that I'm a mother of 20. She's going to be 20 in a few weeks. 18 next week. And then I've got a four-year-old boy. Soon going to be 5. Don't ask how that happened. That's another story for another day. I'm married to James Nyora, a man after God's own heart. And he supports me. He pays my flight to go places. He sends me to mission fields. What more can I ask? I thank the Lord for that. As we were praying, God gave me a word for Patrick. Let me tell you something. God is going to give you a lot of young men, because the Lord has seen how much of a big heart you have, and God is going to increase the capacity to be a father to many. People will start giving you phone calls. Would you please talk to me? Would you please mentor me? Would you please tell me something? And in the body of Jesus Christ, what we are lacking is mentorship, and we are lacking people to mother us and to father us. And let me tell you something else that God is doing in the kingdom of God. America is crying and is groaning. There was a prophetic word that was given in Birmingham, Alabama, that they've been waiting for the sons of Africa to come and bring revival in the United States of America. So when you as an African person or African descent, and you haven't brought revival, you have not teaching people, telling people about God, then they are crying out there. They are desperate. Actually, there is an apostolic council that meets in Birmingham, Alabama. And all these people, either one way or another, they've been to Africa, Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, somewhere. But they keep on saying that revival is coming with the Africans. So maybe you came here because you wanted a better life. Maybe you came here because you wanted to get a higher education. But I want to tell you, you're in a mission field in the name of Jesus. Wherever you work, in your hospital, in your workplace, corporate office, God has sent you there. Watch this. Pastor Tony cannot go to all your offices and preach the word of God. But when he impacts you every Sunday, when you leave off for the week, then you go and impact others. You lay your hands on those people that you meet with, then the kingdom of God is expanding in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm not used to talking about myself, but my heartbeat is for missions. So when I hear that I need to go to the Caribbean, hallelujah, I'm crazy for God. They can tell you. I resigned my job one day because my boss decided not to give me enough. I requested that off in August, and she kept on postponing, and my trip was in November 1st. And I remember that day I said, okay, devil, you think what? I had done all that I can. I had poured anointing oil. I had, you know, anointed her doorknobs with oil at work. You know, I'm a nurse. You know, I was speaking the word, prophesying, but it was not happening. And she looked at me. She became like a stumbling block. And she told me that you're not going to that mission trip. There's no way. I got two people who are pregnant. I got all this. And I said, okay,
all right, that's okay. Let's see who's God. And I remember working on October 31st, and I did my night shift, and I was smiling. In fact, that day we were shot in the morning, so I had to give her report of my patients. And I wrote it, and I had already written my resignation letter. And I went straight to the corporate office. I had cleaned out my locker and everything. Nobody knew. And I told my husband, this is what I'm doing. I'm resigning. And I'm going to the mission field in the Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago, and I will be back. That is how crazy I am for God. So I went and I resigned. And I went to the office, HR office. I dropped my letter. I went to the chief of nursing. I dropped my other letter. And the other one, I handed it to be given to her because I was not going to give it to her. She said, wow, Ruth gave me a report. She didn't even tell me. And this time, this is how crazy I was. She made sure that day that I was supposed to fly out, she put me on the schedule that night. It was not my night to work. I said, I'm not playing with the devil. Praise the name of the living God. So I went and worked. I had already packed my bag. So I had enough time to drive from my workplace home, take a shower, and go to the airport. When she read the mail, she called me when I was taking off. And she told me, Ruth, do you know what you just did? I said, when it comes between you and my God, it is my God. You can have your job. I'm going to the mission field. Praise the name of the living God. The Bible says, touch not the anointed. That day, she was put in the hospital for 3 weeks with a high rocketing blood pressure. One of my coworkers had to come and say, pray for Wanda because she is really sick. But I want to tell you, when I went to that mission field, it was so empowering. When I landed back, for 15 days we had gone. When we landed back, I had like 10 job offers, not knowing which one to take. That is the kind of God that I trust. Amen. It's a God, a good God and a faithful God. Amen. So I go for missions. I love missions. I started this when I was a little girl. I started feeding, you know, street kids, and I started to tutor those children in the village that did not know how to read and had difficulties with their math and their biologies. That is what I used to do every weekend. Praise the name of the living God. I used to travel with missionaries, and when they would come, they're called Campus Crusade for Christ. They would come for exchange programs, and I would go interpreting for them. And in our little pouch, we had spirit, we had cotton wool, and we had a needle. Because sometimes the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just the word. Sometimes you will have to sit down and remove jiggers or chigas. That is what they are called, chigas in America, jiggers in America, in Africa. We would do that and treat them. That is what my heart is about. When I think about how our people in the villages die, this coming 2 weeks I'll be flying out to Kenya for a very quick mission trip for about 15 days, and then I'll be back. Crazy about me because I'm in the middle of a move and I'm in the middle of planning an event, a very big event conference in May. But the Lord said, I'm sending you to Africa. We're going to go and eradicate tapeworms, hookworms, and all that. We're going to be doing testing, fighting diabetes and hypertension in the villages. So we'll be having like medical camps in the morning and revival meetings in that evening. That is my heart. The kind of shifts that we're going to do, they are crazy, because we'll be traveling in the morning, get there early to do the medical mission in the evening, leave there at about 9 o'clock, go back to Nairobi, and these are different cities every day. And you know what? I told these Americans, be ready, because we are in a marathon. Praise the name of the living God. That is my heart, because I have seen it. Every time we go and do those medical missions, when we're giving girls, you know, menstrual cups and reusable pads, that's my goal. I go so that they can be able to go to school. When we go visit HIV women and we buy them clothes, and we send people in the hospital because they have cancer, nobody can pay for them. That is my heart, and that is the heartbeat of God. In fact, in my church, what we do, I'm in the office of missions and evangelism, and that is what I like to do, travel and cause people to go out there. Praise the name of the living God. I want to challenge you
try it one day. Start with missions, prisons, ministries here. Encounter, mix with these people who go for these missions. Hallelujah. And you will see the difference that God will do in your life. Straight to the word of God in the book of Numbers, chapter number 15. Numbers, chapter number 15. Pastor Tony, how many minutes do I have? 20. Oh, so help me God. Hallelujah. Numbers 15. I will read from the Amplified Bible. Numbers 15, verses number 37 to 41. The Bible, and the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and bid them make fringes or tassels on the corners of the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And put upon the fringe of the borders or upon the tassel of each corner a code of blue. And it shall be to you a fringe or tassel that you may look upon and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you may not spy out and follow after the desires of your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to follow and play the harlot spiritually, if not physically, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Praise the name of the living God. All right, we're going to jump very quickly to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 14. And I will read verses 34 and 35. And when the man... Let me start from verses number 34. And when they had crossed over to the other side, they went ashore at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, that is Jesus, they sent around into all the surrounding country and brought to him all who were sick. He begged him to let them merely touch the fringe, and the fringe actually is a hem of his garment, and as many as he touched it were perfectly restored. Father, in the name of Jesus, use my mouth to speak to your people. I get out the way, Holy Spirit, that you may have your way in this service, even as we share the word of God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'll praise it, Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. One more time. I'll praise it's Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Jesus, and it's Jesus in my soul, for I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. I want to speak to you about touching the hem of his garment. I'm sorry, this is not a prayer show, but I want to tell you what it is to touch the hem of his garment. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be able to make a lot of movements because I have a broken leg that has been healing for about a year. But I want you to be very attentive about what God can do when you learn how to touch the hem of his garment. And the Bible says, look at the tassel of the fringes. That means the hem. That is the hem. And for generations, there will be a cord of blue that represents the kingdom of God. There will be 10 fringes upon which talks about the dimensions of God. And then in the book of Matthew, chapter 9 and verses number 20, you all know the story of the woman with the issue of blood. When she went and she knew that I was going to die, I was isolated, I was a loner. But the Bible says
and she decided that she was going to touch the hem of his garment, because the hem of the garment of Jesus represents the government of God. It represents the power of God. It represents the anointing of God. Praise the name of the Lord. That woman with the issue of blood was not only was she healed from the hemorrhaging of blood, but she was healed financially, she was healed socially, and she was healed physically. I don't know about you today, but I want you to approach God in another way. Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. The book of Matthew 14, the Bible says, when the men of Gennesaret recognized Jesus, they went around the country surrounding and brought him all who were sick and begged him to let them merely touch the fringe of the hem of his garment. Praise the name of the living God. And everybody who touched the hem of the garment of God was healed completely in the name of Jesus. We are in a time that we need to see revival. We are in a time that we need to see the power of God moving. We are in a time that we need to see the anointing of God following our ministries. Hallelujah. We desire the signs and the wonders. Hallelujah. When I was in Kenya last year, I was told, you know, there's some Kenyan pastors who were going to the witchcraft. They are so hungry for these powers and anointing that they have corrupted the word of God. They go and take their Bible so that they can be prayed for by the witch doctor, so that when they lay their hands on you, hallelujah, the power of God is going to move. But I want to tell you, there is God in the name of Jesus that is able to do much, hallelujah, in the name of the Lord God. If only you can spend time under the shadow of his wings, if only you can spend time in your prayer closet, there is a power that is at our dispensation that God has released in our lives, that we may be able to walk with the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The garment in perspective here is was the prayer shawl, and it is called the tahit. It is called the cloak. It was a tent, a vesture that had fringes like this. And I'm sorry, this is not the typical, but I had to try and improvise for that. Praise the name of the Lord. It was a prayer shawl, and it had four corners to it. Praise the name of Jesus. Apostle Paul, the Bible says that he was a tent maker. And I believe it's not the tents that we think about, the ones that we put outside. I think this was the tent he was talking, the prayer shawl. He was making it and selling it so that he can be able to pay his way for the gospel. Praise the name of the living God. That is just my thought. It could be supported theologically, but it is up to you to think, because those days, why would they? Yes, they had tents that were being made with, you know, animal skin. But I'm thinking that anybody would have been able to afford that. But I'm thinking not many people would have been able to afford the tahit, that was the one that represented the power of God, that you covered yourself when you prayed. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. The tassel was the most important part of the prayer shawl. It is called the tzitzit that carried the name of God and the power of God. That is what the woman of God knew, that if I just touch the hem of his garment, because it represented the power of God, the dominion of God, that he would be healed, that she would be healed. Praise the name of the Lord. It carried the name of God and the power of God. Never allowed to touch the ground. I don't know whether you've seen a typical prayer shawl. It has four corners that are actually taller. And you're told that those are not ever to touch the ground, because they represent the power of God. Hallelujah. It was a person's authority. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. One day Saul was pursuing David. Huh? He entered in, he got into a place of fatigue, and he was needing rest. master. And so he entered into a cave. And at that time when he entered the cave, there was a cobweb that was there. Actually, that is where the Star of David comes from in the Bible. And when he entered in, he cleaned out and he knew that there were no people there. Praise the name of the Lord. So he entered into the cave. But David and his boys were in there. Praise the name of the living God. And so when Saul came, remember, Saul was always running after David. He was wanting to kill David. But I want to tell you tonight, when he went there and he slept, David came with his sword, touched the hem of his garment. You can read that story in the book of 1 Samuel. And when Saul was asleep, verses chapter number 24, when he was asleep, he cut the corner of his garment. They went and he did not say a word, but when Saul woke up in the morning and he was running away, this is what David said. David pursued Saul. He said, "You've been looking for me, but I want to show you that I cut the hem of your garment." And do you know what Saul said? Saul said that, "You know what? Now I know. Now I know that you will rule the children of Israel. Now I know that God has ordained you to be king over Israel. Why? Because you have cut the hem of my garment." That was the place of authority. Authority had been cut away from him. So Saul now was very powerless. And Saul now could not do anything. And so she had to surrender to King David. Jesus, I don't know about you, but many people like to touch the servants of God. But we don't, we're not the power. The power is Him, Jehovah. Praise the name of the living God. The seat out of the garment, hallelujah, of King Saul, his authority was cut off. Praise the name of Jesus. When it was showed to him, he knew he's finished, he's kaput. "Now I know that you will rule and be king in Israel, and the kingdom will be yours." He cut off his authority and the power of Saul. When Saul was confronted another time by Prophet Samuel, because he didn't kill everything in the Amalekites, he kept the fat sheep. There was a confrontation to where Saul cut the fringe of the prophet's shawl. And the Bible says that Saul tore the commandments of God with his bare hands, meaning that he had touched the power of God in an uncool way, meaning that he was going to fail miserably. And that was where trouble started for Saul. Praise the name of the living God. Hallelujah. Elijah. Do you remember the mantle that Elijah left for Elisha? The Bible says in the book of 1 Kings 19:19, the Bible says, "Glory and honor. His mantle represents glory and honor made of the camel's hair. It was passed down to generations until John the Baptist." The Bible records it was given down that family to John the Baptist. Praise the name of the living God. And when the woman, because it had the power of God, when he put it upon Jordan that represents death, when he put it there, the water parted and he was able to cross over on the other side. I don't know what you've been touching, but I'm here to say, may you touch the hem of his garment. When the woman with the issue of blood, hallelujah, the one when she was reaching the hem of his garment, she was reaching the tassel, which is the seat, like seat. He was touching the seat, for she knew if she touched it, the power of God would heal her. I don't know how many of us are willing to be kneeling to the power of God. I don't know how many are willing, hallelujah, to bend down to the anointing of God, because God, Jesus' garment garment, hallelujah, it was a long garment. So she was not walking straight. This woman, I'm thinking, she had to be cloring in a place of humility to touch the hem of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because she knew from the book of Numbers what we read, that represented the power of God, the anointing of God, the word of God. And when you touch that by faith, she knew that she was going to be healed. I don't know about priests nowadays. Pastors like Pastor Tony and I, the priestly garments. Yes, I have one. I don't know whether you have one, but it's always, you'll get one. Okay. I got one, but it's always in the house. When I want to do prophetic warfare, that's what I wear. It's white in color. And it has some very nice fiery things. When I was being installed into the office of the prophet by the prophetic presbytery in Nairobi, Kenya, that's what they wore me and said that God is giving you this authority of fire. Praise the name of the living God. But the garments of a priest had three things I want you to recognize. It had bells, it had pomegranate, it's a fruit, it had 10 tassels, 5 blue, 5 white. Amen. The bells were a witness. When the priest entered into the Holy of Holies, they wanted there to be a witness that he's still alive and that God has not struck him dead. Hallelujah. And we are the royal priesthood, the chosen generation, and God has called us that we may be able to walk with a witness. Do you witness in your place? Do people know that you're a born again man? Do people know that you're a woman that doesn't have nonsensical, but you stand things for God in the name of Jesus? What witness do you have in the name of the Lord God? Hallelujah. The pomegranate is a representation of fruit. The life of a priest are to be fruitful. Wherever they go, they change situations, they change circumstances, they change the atmosphere. There is a move of God. So when we see pastors that don't have fruitfulness in their lives, there is something questionable about their life. But the Bible says, wherever we shall go, there will be change in the name of the Lord God. So fruitfulness is part and parcel of priests. Yeah, Pastor Tony and I. But come on, church, the Bible says that you're a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. You might not be an ordained minister, but the Lord calls you the anointed of God, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. Yeah, you might think it's just for me and Pastor Tony, but it's not. All of you in your corporate office, the Lord says you are a royal priesthood. If you did not know, you're the ones to do the witnessing, not us. We just train you so that you can go. In the name of Jesus. It had tassels. And the 10 tassels represented the kingdom of God. If you look at your 10 toenails, or your 10 toes, they represent the kingdom of God. And I will give them to you very quickly. And that is why the priest is supposed to walk in something that is called a dimensional walk. When you're walking a dimensional walk, you walk like a king. That is why you're called royal. You know what royalty is? The king of kings, the favored daughters of the king, the kings that are in the house. Hallelujah. You walk with a dimension. Hallelujah. When you take a step is a dimension. When you take another step is a dimension. Hallelujah. And this 10 things I'm going to tell you. The 10 dimensional walks that you walk with when you were walking as a child of God. Number one, you walk in faith. Hallelujah. The one, the God's kingdom represents faith. Hallelujah. One of the dimensions, the other dimension is light for those who are writing. And we are the light of the world. Hallelujah. And then we have, Jehovah God, help me to finish this. Then we have wisdom and knowledge. You should be a man and a woman that is full of wisdom and knowledge. And the Bible says, wisdom, if you lack wisdom, ask God. I've been insulted by people telling me they will pray wisdom for me. And okay, I'm humble, I accept it because they are praying wisdom. But most of the time they pray for the wisdom that they think I should have. But the Bible tells me that if I lack wisdom, I should ask ask God. The Bible does not say, y'all, do you study your word? The Bible doesn't say, ask somebody to pray for you for wisdom. I can ask my intercessors over here. They're in our church. I can call them and tell them, pray for me because I'm going for a mission trip. Pray for me because I need healing. Pray for me because my kids are wild now. Pray for me because I need God. But I can never tell them to pray for me for wisdom. For the Bible commands me, if I lack wisdom, I should ask the Father. So sometimes, if my sister, Wamboi Thomas, wants to pray for wisdom, it's because she has a perception of wisdom. Like, say, I pray that God will give you wisdom on how to dress. So maybe she wants me to dress in a certain fashion. You getting it? Are you understanding it? So when people try to tell you that I'm praying that you have wisdom, sometimes I just say, Father God, I don't know what they're praying for me. Because it's like they want to make me. It's like they want to form me. It is that like they want to design me. Oh, but pray for the Lord to give you wisdom and knowledge. Hallelujah. The other dimension is called the dimension of revelation and truth. God will reveal to you truth. Hallelujah. In dreams, in visions. Hallelujah. He will give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Praise the name of the living God. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will start stop reading. You will stop reading the Bible like a novel. You know them days? And I'm a pastor's kid. I can confess. I used to read the Bible like a novel. I would start Genesis, come. But really, I was not understanding anything. And I could quote Pastor's Daughter. And I could quote it, and I could lead worship, and I could lead the services. But really, I didn't have an understanding. But when God starts giving you the revelation and the truth of the word of God, he starts using Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. You read it today, you read it tomorrow, but it comes with a new revelation all the time. Praise the name of the living God. Revelation and truth, a new truth. That is why when somebody comes and tells you, eat grass, you just don't go eating grass. That is why if I stand on this pulpit and I tell you to sow a seed, you got to ask God, why am I sowing? Because a lot of us have been sowing in places that we never get a return. Is that true? Is that real? I've sown a lot of money. And the things I was told, they haven't come to pass yet. We have to know the revelation and the truth. The other dimension of walk is when you walk with power. When we say I'm walking in power, I'm walking in authority and all that kind of stuff here, yeah? Because I know who I am. When you start walking in operating power, this power is the power to be able to transform in the name of Jesus. The other thing is that you walk in life. Everywhere you go, because you're just like a river of God in Ezekiel 47. That wherever that river of God went, there was life. The Bible says it went even into the Dead Sea. And that Dead Sea, because it was a river of God that was emanating from the throne of God, the Bible says that that Dead Sea, there was fish. Then there was provision in the name of Jesus. I declare over this church, when I walked in and I saw these golden, beautiful leprechauns over here, I told God, I start hearing God saying, there will be a prosperity and a wealthiness that is coming in the name of Jesus. There is a difference between riches and wealth. I'm not declaring riches. Riches are just for a time. But wealth is continuous. Hallelujah. That is what I declare over this house in the name of Jesus. There is the life of God that only not touches your finances. Hallelujah. Because when the woman with the issue of blood, she was bleeding for all those years. But when she was touched by God, when she touched the hem of the garment and the power of God transferred to her, not only was she healed, we call it the holistic healing for nurses. Those of you that are nurses. She was healed physically. The hemorrhage stopped. The Bible says she had used all her money to see doctors. And what happened? It stopped. Hallelujah. She was healed relationship-wise. She was an outcast because she was a bleeder. At the time, she could not mix up with the people. People would not go to her house because they would make them unclean. But when God comes and touches you, your power touches you, it changes your life around in the name of Jesus. And this is what happened. Now you can walk with the people. Now you can mingle with the people. Now you start having friends. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. Then the other dimension is called the dimensions of kings. You just don't walk like anybody. You are a king and a queen in the kingdom of God. The Bible says, and Hadassah, that is Esther in the book of Esther, she says that she was an orphan, but yet God looked at her and said, she is beautiful and she will become the savior of my kingdom. You might be having a situation, but God is looking at you and saying, yes, you might be that, because he knows the end from the beginning. He has already drawn the picture. It is you to trust God in the name of the Lord. Walk in the dimension of a king or a queen in the name of Jesus. The other dimension is of prosperity. You will have an increase in every area of your life in the name of Jesus. The other dimension is called the healing and miracles. We will start seeing signs and wonders and miracles happening in our ministries in the name of Jesus. And the final dimension is called the dimension of worship and the prophetic. That means when there is a supernatural worship and the prophetic, there will be a supernatural thing that happens. There's something that is called the Rhema experience. This is in the prophetic term. That when you're worshiping, sometimes you get from one level or one realm to another realm. At that time, you're just worshiping the Lord. I don't know, Pastor Tony, whether you've experienced you were singing a song, but you start just singing another song in new tongues, and you just don't understand. That is called a Rhema experience. And God wants you to start experiencing there, because when you get to that Rhema experience, you're already at the throne of God. And if you've been at the throne of God, how can your life be ever be the same again? Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. If you are broken, you go to the presence of God and you touch the hem of his garment. How can your life be the same again? Hallelujah. May you operate in those 10 dimensions. It is a time for you to reach the name of Jesus. Reach to the power that backs off the power of darkness. You have a power as a royal priesthood that you have not exercised yet as a believer. There is power in prayer. There is power in the name of Jesus. A voice says, try me. Every miracle starts with the impossibility. Try me. Every miracle starts with the impossibilities. I want to tell you, one day, my fourth child, when I got pregnant, they diagnosed me to have leukemia. It was not really, but all the signs I had were leukemia. My doctor is Indian. And I used to go there and she tells me, Ruth, doesn't look good. Oh, you have thrombocytopenia. I was pregnant. My platelet count would drop to 20,000. Those of you who are in the medical field, that means I could not touch a knife. I could not touch a needle because I would bleed out to death. I'm pregnant. I'm going to give birth to a baby. And so they put me on steroids after steroids after steroids every week so that my bone formation could cause the platelets to grow. But it was not happening. And I remember one day the man of God came and told me, I saw God giving you new cells to your eyes. I said, to my eyes or to my blood? Because God has given me power to navigate stuff. And so I said, I think it is to my blood. So every time I would walk to that hematology place with people with cancer, leukemia, with no hair, with oxygen, and I was feeling like I was in the next. You know in Kenya how we used to go to that clinic? You're told, next, next. I'm thinking, now next week is me with no hair. But I started making declarations to this man of God. And this doctor, I still call him a man of God even though he doesn't believe in God. He's a Buddhist. And so Dr. Sharif would tell me, so when are we doing biopsy? I said, not on me. By his stripes, I am healed. Oh, and because I used to work for him too,
on the floors. I used to have his cancer patients. He would come and tell me, "You're a pathetic patient. When are you coming to have your bone marrow biopsy?" I would say, "Let me tell you, that's not my portion. Leukemia is not my portion. I told you, doctor, you will do all the tests that you want to do. I will come for the steroid shot, but you will never do a bone biopsy." After 1 year, I almost died giving birth to my child. And I remember signing a waiver. I told the doctor, "Don't kill the boy. My husband has been waiting for this boy for eternity." This Kikuyu man with sons. I said, "God, he's been waiting. Let me write a waiver. Mama, go, boy, be saved." That's what I signed. And I remember I said, "I need to make one phone call." And my husband asked me, "Who do you want to call?" "I am a nurse. I'm not a fool. I can look at the fetal distress on the baby. I'm seeing I'm losing the baby real fast. And the doctors here don't want to do a C-section. They don't want to do, they don't want to cut me open to pull the baby. They don't want to put forceps to pull the baby. I go, they've been inducing me for the last 15 minutes. It was a horrible and it was very painful. And I want to tell you, one time my husband told me, "Who do you want to call? You want to call your mommy?" I said, "No, not my mommy right now. I want to call my pastor." And I remember calling my pastor Jacob, Apostle Jacob Gedhago. And I made a phone call and I said, "I am dying. Pray for me." That's all I did. And I hanged up the phone. And I told them, "Okay, nurses, go ahead. I wavered that even though I die, nobody's going to sue you, but save the baby." I'm telling you, there is power in prayer. Praise the name of the living God. I do not know where power came from. My doctor is white. My nurse is white. The people I was being surrounded by all these ICU people in the hospital, and I'm looking and I know it is bad. I knew it was bad when my husband said, "Girls, get out of this room. I don't want you to see your mother die." And I knew, wow. And I looked at my nurses, my doctor, everybody was pink, and I knew I'm gone. And I don't know where power came from, and that baby just gushed out. That baby just came out from nowhere. Instead of the baby going down, the baby was already going down, but the baby started going back up again. Impossibilities. After that, the baby was born, and the daddy had to take care of him because I was in so much distress. But God saved my life. That is why I love God so much. I want to tell you, there is power when you touch the hem of his garment. Praise the name of the living God. Somebody prayed me back. Could you pray for somebody back? Could you pray for somebody's job to come back? Could you believe with a brother and a sister, hallelujah, that there will be increase in their life in the name of Jesus? That the struggles will come to an end in the name of the Lord God. Could you stand in the gap for somebody and call upon God and touch that hem of his garment, the tzitzit that holds the authority of God? Praise the name of Jesus. I continue to see the hematology doctor. Kept on telling me that I have leukemia. 1 year later, he came and told me, I got to have a meeting with you in my office. And I said, because this is how it used to be. He used to do my blood work every week. This week, I have 10,000 platelets. Tomorrow, 75. 75 is on a good day. So that time, I'm safe. They've never gone all the way to 150. But this doctor said, it is something funny about this. I think I need to call it idiopathic thrombocytopenia, because I don't really understand. Why is it low today and high tomorrow? Why is it low today and high tomorrow? And I said, listen, Dr. Karif, I'm tired. You're not going to be drawing blood off of me every week. I'm tired of this. I'm not coming anymore. And leukemia is not my portion. So he called me to his office and he told me, I think you're a pathetic patient. And I want to say that this doctor is an idiot, because I cannot answer why this is happening. And so I'm still going to be your doctor. Every time you have problems, come see me. But I want to tell you, it's been several years. I've never been back to see him. I live by faith. That is why you need to know to touch the hem of his garment. I've been in so many car wrecks over and over again. When I was in class 2, I was ran over by a car. and I stayed in the hospital for a year. When I came to this country, I had another wreck in the year 2000. That is why I have a cut on my neck. That was the seatbelt. When they removed me from the car and they looked at my car, they started planning a funeral. Hear me. I was in a hospital, but when my husband and the cousin saw the car that I came out from, they knew that I was dead. But when they came, they only found that I had to have surgery in my mouth because my teeth were inside my lip. And I had all these cuts in my body and I was being sewn up. And after that, there was 3 weeks after that, I was driving to the store where this woman comes and bangs on my car. It's like the devil wanted to kill me, destroy me. 4 weeks later after that, my daughter is screaming, a little girl, and I'm driving up the hill. I had just come from Kenya, and my daughter has this scream, and I look back, and I'm stepping on the gas, thinking I'm stepping on brakes, and I went and hit a car. Within a span of 2 months, 3 cars were finished. My husband told me, you're going to go back to Kenya. But I want to tell you, the insurance company told him, sometimes when it rains, it pours. And they were very gracious. You know, God can turn the situation around. The first car that I was in was actually a car that I was paying for. Amen? It was a leased car. But you know, that car was in so many accidents, but they used to refurbish it and sell it back. The car dealer. So when they realized what was happening, they had to pay me back that money because it would have killed me. That is what God can do. He can give you life. I've been through so many things, and sometimes I ask God why. 2011, I was driving, I was going to a mission trip, and I passed by my sister's Mary's house, roommate's house, and I picked up a bag luggage that was there. And I was just leaving that neighborhood, I felt like something was not right, because the pastor lady that was living in that house, I called her and I said, I just feel this unusual sleep in my brain. I do not know what is happening, but I want you to pray for me alive. I missed crashing twice. Now let me tell you, God saved me all the way from the interstate, the high. And I went to my neighborhood and I met with somebody who was driving on the wrong side. We had a head-on collision and my car flipped over, a brand new SUV. The previous Sunday, God had told me, remove all the mission trip things out. And I remember when I was upside down, these people came and pulled me out. I remember telling them, forget about the car, pull me out because I'm going to Africa on Friday. The paramedics got over there and tell me, I cannot afford to have a broken bone because either way or not, I'm going to Kenya. This is how crazy I am. I told you last year when I broke my leg at work in January, but June I had to go to Africa. I told the doctor, no, you're not doing surgery on this leg. Until I go to Kenya, do my mission work, when I come back, I land the following morning, take me to the theater, and that's what they did. I was walking in Kenya, I'm preaching on a boot like this. And I'm telling them about a God who can heal. I'm telling them about a God who can do miracles. And I'm in a boot. Hallelujah. But God is God. He moved. I came back, I had my surgery. This God is an amazing God. The other day, the doctor called me and told me, you know what, you're going to be disabled for the rest of your life. I said, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. They gave me all these things. Now, I can't work as a nurse anymore. So they told me, you cannot stand more than an hour. You cannot climb the stairs. You cannot stand up for more than a third of a shift. They gave me 8 restrictions. I said, glory to God. Now they're going to be paying me at home. Hallelujah. There's a lawsuit right now. I'm waiting for them to give me some few thousands. I go do some mission work in Kenya. Hallelujah. That's how God works. Amen. Hallelujah. God is an awesome God. When you touch the hem of his garment, when you touch the hem of his garment, you have the gift of faith. You have the gift of miracle. You've got the gift of a healing readily available to you. Push your way to the power. Be authoritative. You have his name. You have his command. I want to step down here just a little bit. I'm thinking, Jesus, let's say for instance, this was Jesus.
And I want to show you that Jesus, that's his garment. I want to show you this, and I can usually kneel well down, so somebody might have to lift me up. But this woman went and said, I'm reaching the hem of his garment. I'm reaching to touch the seat of God. I'm reaching to touch the power of God, because that power is where the name of Jesus is. It does not matter what you've been going through, somebody. It doesn't matter that frustrations the enemy has brought your way. But the Bible says that when you reach the hem of his garment, the Bible says that when you reach the seat, hallelujah, the power of God will come over you in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter whether your marriage is failing, but when you reach the seat of God, there is something supernatural that is going to happen. It doesn't matter whether you are being fired from work in the name of the Lord, but when you touch the seat of God, the people who are planning and devising to fire you, they're the ones who are be fired, because if God be for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. It doesn't matter what the enemy has been speaking to your ministry and to your calling. It doesn't matter the names that they've given you. It doesn't matter whether you have been a laughing and a gazing stock. According to the book of Hebrews, that they have made you a gazing stock. They have made you to be laughing at you. The Bible says that when the power of God comes upon your life, these things that you have been seeing, you will never see them again in the name of Jesus. I want to make an altar call this morning, and I don't lay hands on people, but I want to pray that you may come and tell the Lord what your need is, because when you touch the hem of his garment, when you touch the hem of his garment, there is something supernatural that will happen into your life. There is a change. Perhaps you have children who are rebellious. So perhaps you have situations with your family members that has been difficult. But when you touch the hem of his garment, when you touch the hem of his garment, hallelujah, something will turn around in the name of Jesus. I don't care whether you are facing immigration issues. This woman that is kneeling down before you, one day I was to be deported, but today I have an American passport. It's not because I'm being prideful, but I want to tell you of what God can do in the name of Jesus Christ. When you touch the hem of his garment, when you cry out to God, when you call upon his name, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I don't know who I'm speaking to today. I don't know who I was sent for today. I don't even know why Pastor Tony allowed me to come to your church today. But I came to tell you this message of Jehovah, that when you touch the hem of his garment, that when you touch the hem of power, those witchcraft powers will be destroyed. The demonic forces that have been staged for you to destroy you will be destroyed in the name of Jesus. The hit squad from the devil and from Lucifer himself that has been designed to destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ will be destroyed in the name of the Lord God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 54, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall ever prosper when you are touching the hem of his garment. Look this. God is like the policeman. Hallelujah. God is like the policeman. They manufacture the radar detectors that they can detect you so that they can give you the ticket. But because God is the manufacturer, he went back and manufactured again something else to detect the radar detectors so that you can know where the policemen are. So they do not have a knowledge. The devil has designed a weapon to destroy you. But he is the author of the one who makes those weapons. He's the one who gave the devil that idea.
to create those weapons to destroy you. And now he's able to create another more powerful weapon to sabotage the weapon of the devil. I come to tell you tonight, I come to tell you this afternoon, if you could run to the front and if we could have the praise and worship at the front, we're going to sing, "Oh Yes, It's Jesus." And you have that situation that has been so heavy in your heart. I don't know whether you call it money. I don't know whether you call it your child. I don't know whether you call it my disease, my hypertension, my diabetes, my cancer. But when you touch the hem of his garment, when you touch the hem of his garment, there will be a turnaround in the name of Jesus. I don't care whether the devil has made you a laughing stock in your village, but God is able to raise a stand up for you in the name of Jesus Christ. He will give you a name. He will give you a new name. He will cause things to be new in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Jesus. Come to the front if you need God, Lord. Oh, yes, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus in my soul.
For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
You are there in the congregation. You want to know this power of God. You want to experience this power of God personally. And I think it should be for everybody. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the disciples were being filled with the power of God over and over again. It doesn't matter whether you're an ordained minister and you're a called man of God. But I declare that you need an other feeling of God. You need to touch the power of God. I'm making an invitation. Come quickly because church is already over in the name of Jesus. And we have already taken much of your time. But I want to give your pastor to pray over your life. If you come to the front, I'm not laying my hands on you. The Bible tells me do not be so quick to lay hands. The Bible has called me as a mandate to raise up the poorest pray. And so I teach you how to pray for yourself. I teach you how to talk to God by yourself. If a time ever comes that I need to lay hands on you, I might tell you or I might lay hands on you. But I want to tell you something. Learn how to reach out to God by yourself in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes. It's Jesus. Oh, yes, it's Jesus. And it's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood.
Yes, it's Jesus.
It's
Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his God. Stand on your feet, please. Let's all stand on our feet.
And his blood
has made me. Oh, yes, it's Jesus.
Yes, it is
Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garments, and his blood has been.
Let just come here and I'd like, you know, for the servant of the Lord, just pray for you. Come and just pray for them if you don't mind. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you glory and honor. Bless your name, oh Father. As the rest of us also pray for them in the name of Jesus, and whoever has a need in the name of the Lord, God is able.
What an incredible story. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We exalt you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Who is like you, O God? You're able to deliver, mighty in power, mighty in deliverance. Your name is Jehovah. Your name is El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Rapha. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garments, and his blood has made me whole. Oh, yes, it's Jesus.
Yes, it is
Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
Oh, it is Jesus.
Yes, it's Jesus.
Yes, it is
Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Oh, yes, it's Jesus.
Yes, it is
Jesus. It is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole.
Oh, it is Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, it is
Father, we
Jesus.
Thank you. Father, we